to become a good and useful servant to God in the kingdom. Not only then, but right now in our lives, we can help these people. Now in that process, that training that we are in our lives, we build these skills over time. And they're so useful. God needs us to be able to do this.
And they're valued by God, but they're also very valued by the church as an organization. They're valued in society. They're valued by your employer, your school. Wherever you are, these skills are helpful in your life and in my life. So how do we approach opportunities to help each other? What can each of us do? Each one of us can do something to make a difference. I'm going to go through three things. Now, the first point is, be a servant leader. A servant leader. It's a very popular business term. It's a model of leadership that's taught in business and in education. And it's kind of one of those terms that doesn't make sense, a servant leader, right? Either you're a servant or you're a leader. But this is what's taught, and we'll see that Jesus Christ was the ultimate servant leader. And it's an idea that's used in business, but it's based on those teachings by Jesus Christ. And why would business use these things? Because it works. It builds people up. It makes people productive and able to work and achieve things. The same goals that we have. So I'm going to look into service here. Let's turn over to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 3. And the basic idea behind service is helping others or putting others' needs before our own. Above our what our desires are, to help them progress in their walk. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." And that's what this is about. When we're serving people, when we're trying to be a servant leader or an example by serving, it's trying to have that mindset of Jesus Christ, following his example. It goes on to say, "Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross." So Jesus Christ, the greatest leader of all time, who will be forever, took on the nature of a servant. And that's something we're supposed to do. But he's a leader. And we'll look at some more examples on how that works. And we can apply that in our lives. But serving, once again, is about a mindset. And it starts with a relationship. From some readings I was doing in a book, it's called Leadership Theory and Practice, and a course I've been taking, it says, "A servant leader influences others by being a servant to them. Servant leaders are concerned with their followers. They empathize with them and work to help followers develop. Servant leaders put others first and encourage them to advance to their full potential. Additionally, servant leaders are concerned with the greater good of the organization over personal interests." And this is right out of a business leadership course. And the funny thing about this is it says that this theory was developed in the 1970s, which is, it's a joke, right? This theory has been around forever. This is what Jesus Christ did. Everyone can serve. Let's turn over to Romans 12. We all have different ways, different things that we can do to help people. In Romans 12, verse 3, it says, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So there are many ways to serve, and everyone can do something. And we all have our own gifts given to us by God, and it's up to us to use them. We all have talents, from the youngest to the oldest. And I'll just pull the audience here. We have a good number of people under 25. Can I just get some ways that you have seen those members in our congregation who are under 25 serving at church? I hope you're paying attention to my question. Anybody see anybody serving? Yes. Greeting, songbooks. Right. Serving in the kitchen.
Choir.
Choir. Right. What was that?
Setting up for sound.
Setting up for sound. Yes.
For our hymns.
Right, hymns. So there's many things that even our young people can do. It doesn't matter how old you are that sets your ability. We all can do something. And we've all been given that ability to help others. And those things help people on their path to serving God. And those are physical examples. You know, and we see people, some other things, ushering, having conversations with people. Now, those things build people up. They move them forward. Some people are able to give. They have more than others. It's a great thing. Or teach. Those are all ways to serve. Or prayer. Personal example. Sharing wisdom. All these things serve people and help them in their lives. And it's different for each individual based on what God has blessed us with. And serving and being a servant leader is about a mindset that we need to have. It's about looking to others and putting them first and thinking, what do they need to improve their life, to be better, to be more successful spiritually, or whatever their needs are. I want to read a story in Luke 22. If you'd like to turn there. This is a dispute that came up between the disciples about who was going to be greatest. It's in Luke 22, verse 24. In Luke 22, verse 24, it says, "A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors." So I'm saying that the leaders say, "I'm here to help you," but they still, they look down on them. They lord over them. It says, "But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table?" And he says, "But I am among you as one who serves." This is a confusing thing. Jesus Christ saying he is the greatest, but he's there as one who serves. And that's something, it's about that mindset that we need to have. The mindset of Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn over to Mark 9. We're going to read another example about this. Mark 9, verse 33, it's about the dispute. It says, "And when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?' But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, 'If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.'" So, if this is what we're supposed to do, how do we do that? How does that apply to my life, to our lives? How do we be great but be a servant? Are we just supposed to always do the worst work all the time and that will make us great in God's eyes, but to everyone else will be nothing? That's not necessarily it. It doesn't mean that we should always be looking just to do the worst work or the dirtiest job. It's not about that. It's about the mindset we have to help others, putting others first. And that's what God wants from us. He wants our lives to be beneficial to others. And that's what makes us useful to God, to church, to the church as an organization. That makes us useful to whatever we do in our lives, whether it be work, if we're part of another organization, schools. When you serve people like this and you're that kind of a leader, it helps. It builds that organization up, builds people up. And that's what we're here to do. I'm just going to refer to Matthew 5, verse 3. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So God wants us to have that attitude. It says the reward is great. I'm going to read you a quote from a man named Earl Nightingale. He was an author and motivational speaker. And he wrote this: "People tell me they want to make more money so they can become successful. But they have it backwards. First you become successful, then you make money. And you become successful by serving others." And he goes on to say, "Success is not the result of making money. Earning money is the result of success. And success is in direct proportion to our service." So I'm not here to talk about making money, but I am here to talk about being a valued person. By our service and what we do makes us valuable to God, even doing his work, to the church, and whoever, wherever we are in life. If we are a servant leader, it's beneficial to the people around us. In Matthew 5:14, I can read it from my notes here. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And he goes on to say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's what we're supposed to do with our lives. The way we interact with people, when we're serving people, that's our light. That's how we shine before men. And it's helping people. We'll look at another example of Jesus Christ and what he did as a servant and kind of the mindset that he had. If we turn over to Mark 6, I'm going to read a little story here about Jesus Christ and the disciples. Mark 6, verse 29. So I'll set the stage a little bit of what happened here. John the Baptist, Jesus Christ's cousin, had just been beheaded, and his head was put on a plate. And this was somebody that Jesus Christ loved, that the other disciples loved, that respected. This was like the top person in the church, you might say. An important person that people loved. Had his head cut off, and they had just went and picked up the body. And this is picked up here in verse 29 of Mark 6. It says, when his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So Jesus said, you know, let's just take a break. Right? And don't you think that's warranted at that point when your family member, you had to pick him up whose head was just cut off? It's a time where he was saying, just take some time for yourself. You know, take it easy here. And then in verse 32, it said, so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. It goes on to say, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. So think about this. You know, this person you love was just killed. And these people come, and you know, what would we expect to say? You know, give me some time off here. I'm going to deal with this situation, and then maybe we'll pick that up another time. That's not what Jesus Christ did. He was putting the needs of those people above his own, even in a time of pain. And that's the mindset, the example that he has for us. Goes on to say, so he was teaching them many things at that point. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Very reasonable suggestion. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. He said, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to help these people. It's an incredible example for us in that situation. And then if you skip down to verse 46, it's another important point. It says, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And that's a good example to us as well. So whatever we are able to help people with, we need to remember that it's God who has blessed us with those abilities to serve others. So Jesus Christ and the apostles, really the greatest leaders of all, they put their concerns behind the needs of others, of lesser people, people who weren't as important as them, you might say. And they served them. They were their leaders, clearly. But they set an example. They served them. And Jesus Christ, obviously, and the apostles will be great leaders in the future as well. But it's about that mindset. We need to remember to stay close to God in our service, because it is God who is allowing us to use what we have. It is not us having some great ability that we can provide everybody and be of service to people. But service is also, it's not about doing the lowest tasks all the time. We use washing feet during Passover, and that's an act of service, but that's not all that we're supposed to do. It's not about doing the dishes or just taking out the trash all the time. It's about being able to help people and move them along on their path in life. It's an attitude and a mindset that looks to help others and build them up. Help people achieve what they're trying to succeed in life. And God has blessed us all with the ability to serve people in some way. We are very blessed in being able to do that. So if you want to be useful to God, a servant, a tool that God can use, you want to be useful to the church, to your boss, to the minister, your career, to others in the world, try to have that attitude. Think about what we can do to serve others and build them up. Now, use what God has blessed us with, and it will make us stand out. We will be that light that shines to the world. It's really what we are meant to be, what we're supposed to be and doing in our lives. But don't forget to ask in prayer. We should ask this: what can I do to serve people? What are my abilities? How can I help people? It's a good thing to ask in prayer. And God does bless us with those abilities. So think about that. Be a servant leader. My next point is be a mentor. Be a mentor. It's another very popular term that's used in business or education, leadership courses. Be a mentor. If you have any experience in your life at all, basically if you're alive, you can be a mentor to somebody. You can help somebody with what you have. Now, and part of that is being to serve people is to help them make the right decisions. And we all have knowledge about life in some way. And if we can help people with that understanding, help them make a good decision, or we're able to make a good recommendation to somebody, we should do it. It's to help others in their walk in their service to God. But mentoring provides others with specific direction based on what we have learned in life. Based on your, you might say, expertise or experience. I'm going to read Isaiah 30, verse 21. This was read a couple weeks ago. And it's about a time in the kingdom where those serving God will be there to help others. And I'll read it here. It says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. So that's a direct example of a time in the kingdom where God's servants will be helping people and saying, this, you want to be successful? Do this. Go this way. Or change what you're doing there. That's not going to work. So this is part of our service to others. Let's turn over to Luke 10, verse 10. And we'll look at an example of Jesus Christ using the same same methods. This is the sermon, too, in case anybody was wondering. In Luke 10, verse 10. So this is Jesus Christ. He gave some specific instruction to, it says, to the 70, to people who, to go out and do a specific work. And we're talking about mentoring people and give them advice. This is what he said. In Luke 10, verse 10, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and said to them, two by two, before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It says, go your way. Behold, I will send you out as lambs among wolves. And then he tells them exactly what to do. If you want to be successful, this is what you're going to do. It says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. So he said, exactly, I want you to do this. I want you to go to these houses, and this is what you're going to say. In verse 7, it says, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of the wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And then, so my point here is that Jesus Christ is saying, this is what you're going to do. I know how you're supposed to do this job, and do this, and you'll be successful. And then if you look down to verse 21, once again it says, in that hour, Jesus Christ rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So he prayed again. So whatever, I just want to get back to that point that whatever experience we have in our lives or expertise or understanding, we always need to remember to thank God for what we have and what we're able to do with that. If you want to turn a few pages over to Luke 22, this is just another example of Jesus spelling out exactly what we need to do. In Luke 22, verse 17, about the Passover. Then he took a cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So it was a direct spelling out of what to do. Jesus Christ was saying, do this. I have this understanding. This is what you need to be doing. Go this way to be successful. So we can use this too in our lives, this being a mentor or this way of helping people. And if you mentor others, if you help others with what you have been giving, you will be valued. You'll be valued by God because you're producing fruit. You're helping people. You're leading them to where they need to be. But you'll be valued in your life in wherever you are, just like with the serving, because you're helping others to be productive. You know, and it's it's a great thing that we're able to do to help others to grow in understanding and experience. And it's wonderful if we're blessed with something in our lives, that whatever it might be, some understanding or ability in life, in work, whatever it is, it's a great blessing. But it's so much more if we can take that and pass it on to other people. That's where the real value comes out of it. And that's what our church needs. That's what your work needs, wherever you are. Your school needs that example. You trying to help others to grow. So some examples for us in our lives. What can we do as to mentor somebody? I mean, what gifts do we have? Well, we talked about service. If you serve in the congregation or wherever, show others how you do it. Now, if you are older, you have experience in your life that younger people do not have. You can help them by being a mentor in their life. You know, maybe you've been successful in business or marriage, parenting, education. Maybe spiritually you've had success and you've grown. Those things can be shared with others, and that's really what we're called to do. Now, overcoming problems. If you've overcome a problem in your life, that's something that can be shared with others. That's actually a gift at that point to you. And I'll just make a disclaimer here. I'm not talking about serious legal or dangerous issues. Some of those things go straight to where they need to be. But most of the issues that people have in their lives, we can help them with if we've had experience with it. And it's something we should look to do. I want to read something from experience.com. It says, a mentor is someone whose knowledge and experience the mentee respects, and someone whose wisdom and know-how can support the professional growth and development of others. Often a leader who is a mentee, they've already met. But sometimes a mentor can be someone who the person hasn't even met. You know, if I had an issue with something in particular that I knew another person had experience in, I could go to them and say, can you help me with this? It says, mentors can do a number of things for your career. They can help you build your resume, guide you on a project, and help you identify resources, including referring you to other mentors and important people in your field. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about, of a mentor in my work. So a few years ago, I applied for a leadership position, and I went through the whole interview process, and I didn't get the job. So I went to a manager, and I said to her, why didn't this happen? Why didn't I get this job? And she mentored me. She said, well, you're good at your job. That's not the problem, but you need to be more than just good. And she gave me a specific list of things that I could do. I needed to be more visible to the other leadership. It's when I moved to day shifts. There was a suggestion to become more involved. So I moved into some committees that got me involved with other things besides just my work. And there was also a suggestion on speaking. So I started going to lead at that point. So I was being mentored by this person, and I took what she said, and then 2 years later, when that opportunity came up again, I was able to apply those things and then get that job. And we can help people in the same way. It can be done at church, in business, at school, wherever we are in life. So if you have a challenge in life, you know, something that you're not sure how to deal with, look for a mentor. Look for somebody who's had some experience and ask them what you can do, some specifics. And what about, what if you're a teen? What if you're sitting over here? There's a few over here. What can you do? Can you be a mentor? Well, absolutely. Absolutely you can. Whatever experience that you've had, you know, maybe you've had an experience in high school with discussing evolution or some of the problems that come about, some of the difficulties with the feast. And you can share those things with younger people in the church, how to deal with those situations. That's being a mentor. That's helping people in their walk with God and how to deal with people and work with people. It's looking out for their needs. You know, we've heard the example of the camp counselor. And if you're a camper, you should be looking to that next step of a counselor. And you can talk to those people. And if you've been a counselor, offer that advice. What got you to that point? And maybe you're past that counselor spot where you're a dorm parent or something farther along. Offer that advice to those under you. If they ask, this is not something we're forcing, you're forcing somebody to do, but be a mentor and lead them on their walk in life. I'll just ask real quick for a show of hands, who has helped in the hiring process at work? You've either interviewed somebody or you've been part of interviews, that kind of thing. See those hands? So right there, this is just an example. Any one of those people who had their hands up, they could be a mentor to you if you're looking for a job. They can help you. They could help you figure out ways to deal with the Sabbath and work. You know, how do you approach that subject? What do you do? What should I say when I'm in an interview about the holy days or that I can't work Saturday or Friday nights? What do you say? You know, the people who had their hands up right there, ask one of them. They've been part of that process. They can help you. You know, you can, in marriage too. Many of us have been married. If you haven't been, you can ask the people who have been married advice. Mr. Miller. Where is he at? I just want to give a shout out to Mr. Miller. He's been married for 50 years this week, and Mrs. Miller, of course. So, he knows all the answers about marriage. So you could ask him that. So, no, that's great. And there's people who have experience and understanding. They can help us. They can provide that wisdom to help us in our lives. And it's not just something we'll do in the kingdom. This is something that applies right now in our lives. We can do this. We can help others. And we can do this, once again, by interacting with members of the church, you know, developing relationships within the church. But it also applies outside the church too. These things about working with people work universally. John Maxwell wrote a book called 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And he wrote this. About the law of legacy. He said, a leader's lasting value is measured by succession. When all is said and done, your ability as a leader will not be judged by what you achieved personally or even by what your team accomplished during your tenure. You will be judged by how well your people and your organization did after you were gone. You will be gauged according to the law of legacy. Your lasting value will be measured by succession. So basically what it's saying is that we're judged, or, and this is talking in the business world, but about what we've given to people, what they've been able to accomplish because of us. And it's something we should all consider. If we strive to live this way, once again, it's that mindset of putting others first, thinking about what they need in their lives to be successful, and guiding them, you know, and guiding them ultimately to the kingdom and to be a servant of God, that's what's valued. That's what's important. And it helps people, once again, everywhere. Church, school, work. It'll be noticed. You'll be a light to others, to the world, if you're trying to do this in your life, trying to help others. Now, when I hire somebody, and I see somebody come in and they're telling me all the qualifications they have, and if I don't think that they can help the rest of the team, that's not the person I need. And, you know, we need that person who can help others to build the teams up, build the company that I'm part of up. And it applies here, it applies to our lives. You might want to just read the parable of the talents at some point. I'm not going to go to it right now, but in Matthew 25, it talks about not burying your talents. And that's not what we want to do, right? Especially, we don't want to have those talents buried with us when we go to the grave as well, right? We want other people to have benefited from us, from our lives. That's what we're here to do. And we all have gifts. We all have abilities. Every single one of us can help others in their life. And it's not something that we say, I'm going to go and be a mentor to this person now, and I'm going to tell them how to live their life. That's not what it is. We're not forcing these things on people. It's about having that mindset. If they're looking for the help, we're there to help them to achieve their goals and ultimately be a servant of God in the kingdom. And this is what we need to be doing with our blessings. God has blessed us all with so much. So when those opportunities come up, you know, build those relationships. Go down that path with the person and try to help them. Put them on their path in life to achieve their goals. My next point, we talked about being a servant leader, a mentor. My next point is be a coach. Be a coach. This is once again another very popular term that's being used in the business world. There's professional coaches. There's people that can be hired to coach people along in their careers or whatever it is they're trying to do in life. But what if, consider this question, what if you're not the expert in something, right? We talked about being a mentor. What if you're not the expert? Can you help somebody with their problems? Can you help somebody achieve their goals in life? You know, what if you've never experienced whatever it is they're going through? Let's read a scripture here in Proverbs 20, verse 5. You know, we can often say, I've never been part of that, or I don't know what they're going through, so maybe they should just talk to somebody else. Well, let's read what this says here. In Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says, "The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters." So there's things deep inside people, what they're trying to do with their lives, you might say. It says, but the one who has insight draws them out. The one who has insight draws them out. So let's look at what that means. What it's talking about is the relationship we build with somebody if you're able to coach somebody along in their life. This is not something you can force somebody to do. You know, somebody would have to say, would you help me down this road or with this issue or to achieve this goal? But you can help people even if you're not the expert. I'm want to read in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. I'll just read it here. It says, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. What that's saying is if you're going down a path in life and you have somebody to support you, to be there with you, or to maybe guide you or give some advice along the way, you're much stronger in what you're doing. It's like a coach, right? With a coach, if you're coaching somebody, you're helping them be more productive, right? When they fall with their issues, maybe they fail at a certain goal and you're helping them up. They're receiving comfort and companionship. And you also have that protection. When somebody's there saying, you know, let's try this or go this way, that there's protection there. So these verses in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, they remind us that having that companion there, I'm going to say coach, listening, talking to us or to each other, it brings about the ability to achieve things, to achieve goals. I'll give you an example. This is going to about school. Now, I'm a registered nurse. If somebody asked me, how do I become a registered nurse? Or what do I need to do? I could give some mentoring advice there, right there. I could say, you know, go talk to an advisor. It's going to take this many years. Call the counselor. If you do a four-year program, it'll excel you farther in your career. And then offer what help I had. That would be, I have that experience. I can help someone. What if somebody asked me how to be a lawyer? Or to help them become a lawyer. I don't know anything about being a lawyer. Right? So, the person's there asking me this. And I could say, I can answer in two ways. I could say, I have no idea. You might better go talk to someone else. Right? Or, I could try this. This is what coaching is about. It's about helping people with their goals. You'd say, well, that's interesting. What makes you want to go down that path? Why do you want to be a lawyer? And start that conversation off. And then ask, what do you know? What do you know about this process? And who have you counseled with to see if this is a good path for you? And you're building that relationship. It's a difficult thing to do, and it takes practice. But think about it when somebody asks you a question. And when you give an answer. And, you know, you can go on to say, well, what do you need from me? How can I help you in this path? See, you're drawing out what they have, where they're at, and you're there with them. You're showing them that you can be with them and guide them on this path. And you can help somebody do something that you personally have not done. Because you're there with them. You're being a coach. So coaching, it's about talking to people. It's about building those relationships. It's about using powerful questions. And there's much more to this. This is just a brief topic, but it's to get you thinking. When you're presented with a situation, how are you going to deal with that at that point? You know, and we're looking to guide people to their goals. That's that mindset that I was talking about, to help people get where they want to be. So what about Jesus Christ? Did he coach others? Would he use this method, or is this just something today in business? I'm going to read from Matthew 16, verse 13, and we'll see. In Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. And this is what he says to them. He knew the answer to this. He could have just told them, but what does he say? He says, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then what did he say? He could have said, "I'm the Christ," right? He said, "What about you? Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Sinah, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven." So Jesus was asking questions to guide him in a direction, to a goal, to an understanding. And actually, Jesus Christ asked over 135 questions in the New Testament. And why would he do that? I mean, he had the understanding. He could have just told people exactly what to do. It's because he was helping them along their way. He was helping them grow and producing growth in people by doing that. I don't have time to go there, but you can read through Mark 8. And you'll see how Jesus Christ uses asking people questions to guide them on their way. So coaching, it uses powerful questioning. And it's different than telling somebody what to do. And it's something Jesus could have told these people exactly what to do. Like I said, Peter in particular, he was helping by asking him these questions, to making him think. Now, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, I'll just read it. It says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect." And that's what I'm trying to get across today, is when we're presented with a question or a problem, somebody needs help, how are we approaching that? We should think about how we approach it and do it the way that's the most effective that we can do. And we should pray for guidance in this. If we are presented with these issues, we should always ask God to help us in our walk. So what about this example? I'll ask it to the younger crowd again over here. What if somebody came to one of you and said, "I want to be baptized. I want to go to your church and get baptized." Now, no one over here can baptize a person. They can't even, maybe even counsel them, really. So, could you help them? The answer is yes, absolutely, you can. You can help them in their walk. You know, and the options are the same thing. The possible answers, if you're ever presented with a question like that, you can say, "I have no idea. You better go talk to a minister, because they can help you out." But you know what? That person's there. They're asking you for a reason, and it's your opportunity to help them. So think about, what can I do to help them? And it's, once again, it's about that mindset. So here's an answer. This is a coaching answer. And you might not even know. You know, maybe they're not old enough to get baptized, let's say, or they're not in the right place in their life, but you can still help them. You can say, "Well, that's great. Why do you want to be baptized? Why? What? So that's interesting." Then you go on to say, "Well, what do you know about this? What do you know about baptism?" And they can, you build that conversation, that relationship. And then I'd always recommend asking if they've talked to somebody with, who knows, or somebody with wise counsel, you know, a minister, whoever it is. And then you say, "What can I do to help you on this road? What do you need that I can help you go?" Maybe it's go to church, or why don't you come with me to church, or whatever it is. We can have that conversation with somebody and guide them in their lives. So I'm going to give you four questions. Write these down. These are just a basic how to build a conversation using coaching. Four simple questions. With whatever, somebody comes to you with an issue or a goal, you can ask these. The first one is, why are you interested in whatever it is? The second question is, how is it going? How have you been doing with it? The third question, have you received wise counsel? I might not put it that way. You might say, have you talked to a minister or whoever is appropriate for that situation? And then the last fourth question is, what do you need to get there? And say, you might want to say, how can I help you? And there's many more than this. You can go online, and I would suggest it if you have the time, or you can take a course in how to build these conversations. But those four will get you started, just building that conversation and that relationship. So you can be a coach. You can help someone in their walk with God. You can help people in life. And if you do these things, it'll be useful in your job, at your school, definitely at church. And it'll definitely be used in the kingdom as well. And it is our job to start that process right now. We don't have all the answers for people. And we don't need to. But we need to be able to help people and have that mindset that I want to help you when we're asked. So if we're asked, it's for a reason. The person, they didn't go to a minister. They didn't go to whoever. They went to you. So take that opportunity to help them. Walk with them and talk with them. Build that relationship. And once again, this is a skill that can be developed, and I would recommend that you look into it more. So what will you do in the kingdom? We're going to help people. That's our job. That's what we're meant to do. You might say in the church and out of the church. We are in training right now for that time. And we can be helping people right now. This is something we can all do. We shouldn't be waiting for the kingdom to come to say, then we're going to start doing these things. No, it's a time. It's right now. We can all do this. God has blessed us with many gifts, and we should be trying to use them to help others. There's much more to learn about being a servant leader or a mentor or a coach. And if you ever, once again, if you can get into a course or anything like that, it will help you in your life, in all areas of your life. You know, soon we'll be combining our congregations with the East Side. Think of there's a whole new resource there. People there who have had experiences or who could use help from our experiences. So we should look for those things and build those relationships when we start meeting as a group. It's something that we can use. So if you have the opportunity to learn some of these skills, definitely don't pass it up. They will help you to become successful in life. And maybe not rich. I'm not talking about being rich, but they will help people. They'll make you able to help people. And that makes you valuable. When you're able to help people, it makes you valuable to God's work, to the church, to your work, to your school, wherever you are in life. We have each been blessed with abilities to help others. And God's purpose for us is to be servants, tools that help others. It's why we're here. We're preparing to help people in the kingdom. And those skills are not separate. They're all one. They work under the same principles. They're used in business because it works. You know, Jesus Christ came to this world as an example, and he used these techniques to help people. And it's not always easy. It's not comfortable. But pray for guidance so that you can lead others and be an example to them, to lead them. And pray that we have the mindset to put others first.